Hey everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. And today we're gonna do something a little different. Oh, how do I put my phone on? Okay, so I use my husband's Mac, and the only Apple product I really use is like my phone and my iPad, and I barely know how to use that. I don't know how to use technology at all. So I don't know how to make the messages stop dinging when they come. Here goes again. Oh no, it's quiet this time. Whatever. Anyway, so this is Billy Day, and we're going to do something a little different this time. I'm going to tell you all about myself. The history of Billy, I guess. I was researching for another episode that I was going to do, and I was like, all these people are so influential in my life, and you guys are just awesome that you guys don't really know anything about me other than what I might look like in a picture drawing thing. I figured that I would tell you a little bit about myself and how I got to where I am now. So this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. Okay, so like I said in a couple of my podcasts, that my love of history started very, very early. My dad used to watch the History Channel with me. And then once he knew that I liked it, that was his dad way of bonding. Have you guys ever had like, when your dad, I should start at the beginning. I have two sisters. There's three of us, an older sister and a younger sister. So yes, I'm the middle child, and then all the stories that come with it are 100% true. But since my dad had all girls, he had to find a way to bond with us in the not conventional ways, because none of us like sports. So that was his way of bonding with me, and it was absolutely wonderful. I adore watching things like that. Like my dad, he took me to go see Lincoln in theaters, and that movie was, if you've seen Lincoln, the one with Daniel Day-Lewis, you know that it's like 2.5 hours, bruh. So even though the movie is absolutely phenomenal, it's so long, but we both really enjoyed it. And he kept me when he, see, there goes another, whatever. He took me when nobody else would take me, and really fostered my love of history when I felt like I was kind of weird for actually loving history as a little girl. But anyway, I really, really had a love and a fascination for Egypt. And I knew when I was little, I wanted to be an Egyptologist. I knew it. Like, it was all I wanted to do. I would research the pharaohs. I would research everything. And also being a Christian, it was so interesting when you see the beginning of the Bible and they're in Egypt. And I'm like, my God. Anyway, so all that kind of fostered my love of history. But I also did grow up in Maryland. And that has a very rich, rich history, like a very rich colonial history. Edgar Allan Poe was born like, oh, he wasn't born. Anyway, Edgar Allan Poe died like a couple minutes from my house. So there was history all around. I remember when a friend of mine was in the hospital, I literally walked through a graveyard. So what I did was I walked through a graveyard and I saw all these people who were born in like the 1700s or whatever. And I was just thinking to myself that these people were born in the 1700s, and right across the street is University of Maryland Hospital. And just looking at how Baltimore looks now and thinking about what it might have looked like 300 years ago is just crazy. But what made it worse is that we went walking and I dragged my friend through an empty graveyard in the middle of the night to see all these things. But and I'm probably going to be jumping around a lot, because sometimes I'll think of a story and whatever. So I have lived in Maryland my entire life. Went to elementary school, middle school, high school, college, post-grad, all in Maryland. And it's been great. I know a lot of people have a lot of things to say about the DMV and Baltimore, but okay, so I made sure to say Baltimore because I don't want any of my friends to hear me and they make fun of my accent. And I make sure in the podcast episodes that I try not to have like a Baltimore accent, but it's there, but I try to cover it up. But so I make sure to say Baltimore. Thank you. So yeah, I've gone to school here, lived here. I haven't had any real complaints other than the DMV is very small. It's very, very small. And in your friend circle, no matter where you go, someone's always going to know your business. It's kind of, you know what I sound like? I sound like the Real Housewives of whatever. And they're always like, in Potomac, everyone knows your business. In New Jersey, everyone knows your business. In Atlanta, everyone knows your business. But that's basically what it is. Yeah, so when I got to undergrad, I went to the University of Maryland, College Park, and I left home at 19 after going to community college for a while, Community College, Baltimore County. Then I moved over to College Park, which is it's a bit of a drive, so I moved in with my grandmother, who lived about 20 minutes from College Park. And it was a really big difference, and one of the biggest, and I always mention this as like the catalyst to the beginning of what I now think of my life, because what happened was I went to University of Maryland because it's a pretty prestigious school, I would say. Not an Ivy League, but it's up there. And my friends who were already there were already really established. They already had their own friends, their own clubs, their own whatevers. And I was just kind of showing up on the scene and I kind of felt out of place. They've already started their freshman college experience. And you already know if you've gone to a party school, which my college was a party school, your first year of school is pretty much a mess. So they usually have like freshman forgiveness and then, you know, just get yourself back on track. But when I showed up, that didn't happen because, you know, I was a transfer student. I already had my freshman year. So anyway, I thought I could hang out with the big boys and I was doing what the big boys do. And it was fun. I could keep up. It was a great time, but I kind of hit rock bottom at one point. And this, when I reached this rock bottom is where I kind of, it was a start of everything. And I went through something. I went to a party one night and I was drinking like crazy, underage drinking. Don't do it. And I was around, not my friends, but the crowd I was in, I was looking at it and I was just like, this is not me. This is not me at all. Like, I love to party as much as the next person, but I was looking at it and I was like, this is not okay. You know, I just saw people passed out in bathtubs and beds and I thought like, yeah, that's fun, but no, that's not me. And I had this epiphany and it was, I think it had to be like 30 degrees outside. There was snow on the ground. I was wearing like a booty skirt and I looked down at myself and I was like, yeah, I ain't doing this again. Nope. And the reason why I was wearing a booty skirt in 30 degree weather was because we had all drank and we were so hot that you could just wear whatever. But even that mentality is not where I really wanted to be. So at that moment, I realized I kind of need to get myself together, especially because my grades were literally plummeting. I wasn't doing well. I was in school to be an elementary school teacher. I flunked out of the major because I couldn't get my GPA high enough in a good amount of time. I also had a teacher that I had a shadow with and she literally hated me. And I realized that even though I had been kicked out of my major, LOL, the environment that I saw today's educators subjecting children to and what our education system subjects children to is not something I want to be a part of. I remember being in a classroom and the area of College Park has a lot of immigrants, Hispanic and Latino immigrants. and a lot of them do not speak English. And I believe, like, in a class of 30, and keep in mind, this is a class of 30. When I was growing up, we did not have classes that large. That was one problem. Out of a class of 30, maybe 10 of them could not speak English. So we have the teacher teaching, and these children don't know anything that she's saying. And I was like, I can't be a part of that. And not to mention that she hated me. So I eventually moved to another major. I moved over to public health, which at the time I was devastated because I was like, dang, I couldn't even make it in my own major. And now I have to settle for something else. So I just picked it to graduate. But then I ended up loving everything that I was doing. So our senior year, we had to, like, intern someplace. So I ended up interning at a group home. And my little supervisor, she ended up, I just adore her. I still adore her to this day. She did the best with what she had. And sometimes I worked in a female group home. And just listening to the stories of rape and abuse, drug abuse, as these girls who were younger than I was, it was like, whoa, I need to make a change, or I need to implement change wherever I go, because there's people out here that I've never personally experienced such pain and heartache as these girls were relating to me. I mean, you see it on the news, you might see it, you know, Law and Order. But you never really, it's rare that you sit down and you have a conversation with women like this and you realize that you are fortunate. If you have the ability to wake up every morning, have something to eat, have some place to lay your head, have someone who loves you, you're fortunate. Because a lot of these girls had no one, or they had parents that did not care, had parents that dropped them off on the stoop of the group home and called it a day. And that really inspired a change in me. And what also inspired a change in me was that my sophomore year of college, I ended up taking religion more seriously. And I did that for a number of reasons. First was because I had that breaking point that I told you about earlier, when I realized, like, this was not how I was raised. But after I had that breaking point, my grandfather, who was the world to me, had passed about 2 years before, and I never really coped with it properly. And just doing what I wanted to do, acting a fool, was how I kind of coped with it. You didn't have to think about it. But then I took it seriously because my grandmother said something to me one day. And as I've said before, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and in our doctrine, for lack of a better word, the vast majority of people do not go to heaven. They are resurrected on earth. And my grandmother had said to me, she was really sad. She was thinking about my grandfather, and she had said to me that he was on his deathbed, and he spoke to her, and he said that he was going to wake up in this new world and none of his family was going to be there. And the way that struck me was like something, like, it was like a ton of bricks. That's how much it struck me. And I just, even now, it still strikes me. So I was like, you know, maybe I can take this thing seriously, whatever. It's religion. I was like, it's not for me. But I just tried it and I loved it. And I won't go into much detail about it because this is not a religious kind of podcast, but just know that it was the best thing I have ever, ever done. And I thank Jehovah God every day that he allowed me to get to know him. Now, whatever. So there's that. I also, in undergrad, was a religious studies minor. And the head of the department for religious studies, I was the only black person in the religious studies minor. Keep in mind, I was the only black person, the only Latina in the entire program. So, oh God. So she kind of pushed me along to get into the minor for some diversity, for lack of a better word, because the only people in there were Jewish kids, and they were all men. So in all of my classes, I was usually the only woman, the only person of color. And while it was a little weird, it was rewarding because I had a emphasis in ancient Jewish studies and sectarianism. And, well, the sectarians were the ones who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, basically. That's neither here nor there. And a lot of the times my teacher was also Jewish. Everybody in the class was Jewish. I'm only female, only Black person. And sometimes they would talk in Hebrew. And I would have to kind of like be like, hey, you guys, I don't speak Hebrew. Can we chill out? Anyway, but it made it pretty rewarding because I have an undue amount of Jewish history in my mind. So there's that, and I ended up graduating college, and it was absolutely amazing. Yeah, so fast forward, I ended up getting a job as a technical recruiter, and the drive was just awful. I ended up getting offered a job within the government, and I've been there ever since, and it's been great. But the highlight of my life has been Mr. Darcy, who in this season, you guys have heard him a couple of times. And I can be so candid because he's out with his guys or whatever. But Mr. Darcy, I met Mr. Darcy when I decided to give my life to the Lord. And I just met him by chance. I met him at a party, and I won't go into too much detail, but yeah, that is the love of my life. And we will have been married for 2 months next week. And yeah, Mr. Darcy is a rather private person, so you guys will probably never see his face. You guys will only ever hear his voice. Just like the likelihood of you guys seeing my face is pretty low, but you guys will never see him. But that is my best friend. And what does Queen Elizabeth say about Prince Philip? He has been my strength and stay. My strength and stay! That's what Edison... Oh! You guys didn't hear that. Oops. Oops. Mr. Darcy. That is what Mr. Darcy has been for me. He has been the Mr. Darcy to my Elizabeth Bennet. And yeah. Anyway, so that's that. Anyway, I am finishing grad school next month. I am going to be getting my I've already got my undergraduate degree. I am earning my graduate degree next month. And yeah, it's exciting. You know, I'm taking strides. I don't know if I'm going to get my PhD or not, because who really has time for that? But nowadays, what does a bachelor's even mean, basically, to these companies? Because I thought getting my bachelor's degree was all that in a bag of chips. But people are like, oh, you have a bachelor's degree now? What? So now, just, oh, Lord. Anyway, so just working on that. Trying to be as sane as possible as I'm finishing my graduate degree. And as I was doing that, me and Mr. Darcy bought a home. We have two very large dogs who give us grief, but they're the sweetest things on earth. Like I said, I have two sisters who are both very successful. My parents are really successful. I got the graduate degree I have because of my mom. I really appreciate and admire her work ethic, the work she does, and I realized I'd be good at it too. It's in the genes. It's in the genes. And I did not take up history the way that I wanted to because it wasn't realistic at the time to me. And because I wasn't confident enough in my abilities to really stand by what I honestly believe was my gift. And I just went for something practical. And I will say that that was not a bad idea. And if you want to follow your dreams, go ahead and do it. I support it. But make sure you are practical. And what I mean by that is if you want to go get your degree in Egyptology, you go do it. You go do it, Glen Coco. But at least minor in like business or something. So you got a little something in your back pocket. You know what I mean? Because who's really hiring Egyptologists nowadays? Not a lot of people. But at least you're learning something that you love. And I didn't have the courage to do that or the courage to tell my family that this is what I want to do. Even though it might not be real to you, it's real to me. So my advice to you is just to stick by what you believe is your gift. Because history is my gift. And sharing it with you all is a true blessing. So I feel like that's really everything about me. I think. Is there anything else I'm missing? Yeah, I really think that's it. I bounced around a lot. which is okay. I just wanted to take some time to tell you all about me and that I'm more than just a picture on an Instagram profile, and I'm more than just a history nerd. I'm a wife. I'm a dog mom. I am an avid coffee drinker. I work hard. Play harder. Oh, who said that? That's work hard, play hard, work hard. Oh, that's a Wiz Khalifa song. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to keep this as raw and authentic as possible. So the only editing I'm going to do is remove the background noise. And I'm just going to keep this entire episode as is and just see how things go. I think that's it. Oh, I do say a lot. Have you guys noticed that in my podcast episodes? And even now, I'm sure I've said like 50 times. Yeah, I'm just going to just get rid of the background noise and just keep this whole episode as is and just wing it. But this was a true pleasure to tell you guys about myself. I should have actually recorded a history episode or something, but I ended up just spilling my guts to strangers. But you guys aren't really strangers. You guys are like family from far away. And the outpouring of support you guys have given me is just really, it's better than I could have dreamed. And I say that all the time. I say it all the time. But I didn't even think this podcast was going to be anything. But I have a pretty solid following. I have people who DM me all the time. We just talk about dumb history things. And it's just really nice to have a community of people who are as fascinated with history as I am. And I think, okay, I've said that multiple times. I really think this is it. This is it. Here I stand. I'm the light of the world. I feel grand. Do you guys know where that's from? That's Michael Jackson from the This Is It movie. But it's also the song. I saw the This Is It movie in like 2010. It was a cinematic genius, if you ask me. But anywho, nobody's asking me. That was random 2 cents that no one needed. Oh, gosh. Oh, and finally, I have a new microphone courtesy of Mr. Darcy. And hopefully I sound a little bit better because my sisters told me that my audio quality was dookie. So hopefully this is better. But now I can do like some interesting ASMR. Let me give it a try. Hold on. This is Lady Billy Day. And welcome to my channel. Am I tingling your senses? I hope so. Oh my God, I need to end the episode. What am I doing? Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me rant and rant about my life. And hopefully it was interesting. I don't think my life is interesting enough to write a book, but it's pretty cool. Thanks for listening. Oh, and leave a review. Ugh, God. Because if you haven't left a review, what are you doing? And don't forget to follow me at Lady Billy Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day on Instagram. And I so look forward to hearing from you all. Thanks. This is Lady Billy Day.